Okay, first of all, we're going to read the story. I just want to mention real quickly, I doubt there have been anybody in this room who woke up this morning and basically asked themselves, how can I ruin my life? Well, no, I don't think any one of us does that. But sometimes at the end of our journey, we tend to have regrets, you know, things that we could have done better. Some things we didn't do that we should have. And it's an interesting set of scriptures that we're going to read because Jesus puts this right up against the very final judgment. And I sat and I pondered this because to me, it almost didn't seem to fit. But then I started thinking about it and studying about it, and I thought, oh my, it does fit, and it fits very well. And so as I read this, I'm going to go through the whole story first, and then we'll just quickly, very quickly, I hope, talk about it. So starting in verse 14, and I'm just going to read all the way through, starting in Matthew 25, 14, "For the kingdom of heaven," this is Jesus talking, by the way, "is as a man traveling into the far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." So this is Jesus talking. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man," and catch this statement, "according to his several ability." Not everybody has the same ability. But he gave talents, which in this case is money, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So the master's gone. He left his goods with his servants. Verse 16. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Verse 17. "And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. Verse 18. "But he that had received 1, now this is the guy we don't want to be like, he went and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. Verse 19, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants, he cometh and he reckoneth with them." Verse 20, And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents, behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Same thing he told the first guy. Verse 24, now we have a turn. And then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Boy, King James English is hard to read fast. In other words, he said, look, what you gave me, here it is, the 1 talent. And verse 26, and his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not straw. Verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Usury is interest. In other words, put it in a bank. Get some interest out of it at least, at the very least. He didn't even do that. Verse 29. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. The guy with the better and most ability. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away from him that which he hath. Sometimes we think we have a whole lot, but what little bit we have can be taken away from us. Verse 30. Oh my. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you have three options, pretty much, with what you want to do with your life. You can waste it on things and pursuits that don't matter a hill of beans. I mean, you can do everything under the sun and just totally waste your life doing everything and anything that just pleases you. Okay? That's one way. Or you could spend it on trying to make a name for yourself. Some people do that at work. They want to see how much, you know, how far they can rise up into the ranks. Some people do that in politics. They want to see how far they can go. And ultimately, a lot of them want to become president or at least some position of power where they can have decisions over a whole host of things. I mean, look at our speaker right now. I mean, she has power that I wish she didn't have. But you can spend it on making a name for yourself or on pursuits that don't matter. Or you can invest your life in ways that will bring glory to God. And that's how I hope and I pray that everybody in here has at least thought about, whether or not you're actively doing it yet or not, that you've at least thought about taking whatever you have that the God has given you and use it to His glory. Because whatever you do can affect future generations. Have you noticed how, because people have sort of stopped witnessing or at least teaching their children about the Lord Jesus Christ, how we're raising a whole generation that does not know Jesus Christ? I mean, all we have to do is look out our window, and maybe sometimes the TV screen, and we see all the riots and everything going on, and I'm convinced a lot of these children have not been spanked. Because they're acting like little spoiled brats. And I ain't afraid to say so. But the thing is, you want to bring glory to God and you want to pass it on to future generations. So when I ask you about whether or not you got up this morning and planned on wasting your life, believe it or not, some people do. First thing they do when they get up, and I hate to admit this, but I got some in my family that they want to get on the Xbox and play whatever game all day long. I'm trying to break that habit because I want them to do things of value. I don't think playing on a game for 6-7 hours a day is going to be of any value. Well, out of this story, there are several principles that I just want to go over. And I want to go through these pretty quick. I don't want to hold you very long. Well, first thing is the principle of ownership. You got to understand, God had told us, even back in the days of Adam and Eve, he had given them the role of taking care of His world that He created. So it was up to Adam and Eve to take care and manage it. We have the same role. We're in our little part of the world, we're to take care of it and manage it. It always bugs me, and it's one of those things I have a pet peeve, when I see somebody flick a cigarette out their window. They have an ashtray, and they can empty their ashtray at some time, but no, rather than do that, well, they do. Flick it right out the window. It just bugs me. And almost to, you know, the point, I'm like, you know, yeah, a cigarette butt is not that big, but when you put 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 of them out there in the same place, it makes a mess. It's a big mess. But anyway, we're to take care of His world. We're managers of what He has made. So this is the principle of ownership. We have to own what it is we have and manage it. And so it's an interesting thing that in this parable, Jesus uses the word talents. Now, in the King James, you got to understand a talent is not your ability. It's not your, ability probably is the best word to describe it. It's money. A talent is money. A talent of gold weighs so much. And back then would have been worth like $600,000 for one talent. So anybody given five talents, five times 600,000, that's what, $3.2 million? So think about Jesus. In this parable, it always attributes someone in the parable as to somebody else. Like when Jesus told this, the man who went away into a far country would be Jesus or God the Father, okay? But before he left, he gave all of his goods, that's the whole earth, folks. He gave us the earth to take care of and to manage for him while he's gone. And so now we've told this story so many times that talents tend to represent abilities, opportunities, relationships, gifts, privileges, whatever you want to call it, responsibilities. But we're supposed to take all of that and use it to the glory of God. And this is where I think, me included, I think I fall short. I fall short. Things that I know that I can do, I don't always do. And we were kind of touching on that subject earlier today. You know, we question, at least I do. I question. Sometimes I'll hear what I think is God talking to me, and I'll sit there and argue with myself. Did he talk to me or did I hear it out of my own head? Did I make that up or, you know, should I do that? And I keep going so long, I end up sometimes not obeying the Lord. But then sometimes it's so strong that I just have to. I have to do what he's told me, regardless of how silly it looks. And sometimes it looks silly. But God uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. Okay. So Psalm 24 and 1 actually echoes this point because it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in them. So everything belongs to God. So now he's given it over to his servants. That's the principle of ownership. Now we come to the principle of allocation. Okay, what does that mean? Allocation, that's what it is. I might, if I was an employer, for example, I might would entrust one of you, don't know who, wouldn't say if I did, to be supervisor over the rest of it. But yeah, I'd make Gail supervisor. She'd be the girl with the whip. Do you know in Congress, they actually call them the majority or the minority, depending on who has the most, they call them the majority whip. You know why? Because it's their job that if they're going to vote on a bill, that the majority or the minority whip has to go and basically use whatever means, bribes, threats or even whatever, something good. If you do this, I'll put you on the committee over here, you know, in the next year or whatnot, to get their vote. That's what a whip does. He's out there, he's whipping them into shape. He's getting them to vote his way. That's what a minority and majority whip does. And it's interesting we use that phrase. But so here we have a story where we have three servants, Obviously, in the earth, there's way more than three, but he uses three as an example. And when Jesus tells this story, he gives them different amounts. And it says, according to their several ability. In other words, each one could be considered maybe more of an expert than the other one. So he gives one five, he gives one two talents, and then he gives another one. It's not that he gave the one because the guy just was going to be slothful. That wasn't the point at all. Because all the other guys took their talents and doubled it. So what they did, they invested, and then they brought it back, and they doubled it to the master. And the response was the same as the one with five, as the one with two. When he doubled his and he brought it to his master, he said, "Enter thou, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." But so the principle of allocation is simply based on your abilities. Okay, now think about what abilities you may have, your opportunities, your resources, and all of these things. It's based upon trust. God has entrusted to you a set of gifts. Now, you might not think it, but I can tell you God has not made any no-talent Christians. There are no no-talent Christians. Everyone has some kind of gift, some kind of resource to offer and glorify God. You might say, "Well, I can't preach." Well, who said that was your gift? Your gift might be to witness. Your gift might be to call up somebody and give them hope, you know, and talk them, especially if they're shut in, talk to them and let them have some human-to-human contact. Your gift might be generosity, you know, money. And your gift might be serving, helping somebody. I mean, there's all kinds. I could go on and on. Your gift could be all kinds of things. But the point is, God gave you those gifts. So now what are you going to do with them? You have been allocated these gifts, and there's something for you to do. So not only is this person over here, somebody in here may have more ability to serve or give than somebody else in this room might have. So don't let the fact that you think you have little, okay? I used to do that. I used to think because I had so little, I couldn't help. I couldn't do. But do you know, there's an interesting thing about God. I started learning this. I think it was Wally who first told me. Wally Lawson, he told me one time, he said, "You can't outgive God." Well, I was always nervous when it come to doing things with money and helping people. And the thing is, I have found, and it's such a strange thing, but when you help somebody out, doesn't matter who, but when you help somebody out, you end up that God's going to provide for you in ways that you probably didn't even know. And I've had that happen to me multiple times, to the point to where it's like, "Okay, God, I understand. I understand this idea about reaping and sowing, or sowing and reaping." And so God has blessed me. He's blessed me so much. But like I said, if I was one of those people who just, you know what, tomorrow I've got something going on, I can't do this thing. Yeah, I know you need a coat, but I'm sorry. You know? No, folks, that's not the way we're supposed to be. That's not the way we're supposed to be. James even tells us that if you simply tell somebody who's hungry or who's cold because they don't have any clothes or coat or anything like that, be blessed and go and be warmed. You know, like he's saying, you've done nothing. Faith without works is what? Dead. So, okay, I know Paul says something a little different, but we can cover that another time. But James tells us faith without works is dead. And that's what he's talking about here. He's given or allocating different things, different amounts to different people, and they're able to take that and use it for the Lord's glory. Okay? And we have this one guy. I feel sorry for him in a way, because now we're at the principle of accountability. So God expects us to take these abilities, our talents, our opportunities, or any resource he has given you. Do you realize time is a resource? Sometimes all you have to do is donate some time to whatever cause that God is speaking to you about. So don't think that you come in here and sit on a pew for a certain length of time and then go out the door and that's it until next Sunday. No, 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 many times no. That's not what God has intended. He's intended for whatever gifts and resources we have to not to squander it, but to use it for His glory. Again, it could be serving, time, helping of some sort, talking to people. Like I said, it doesn't mean you have to preach, although that could be something. You never know what God has in store for you. And if you don't know your gift or your abilities, then seek after the Lord to show you what that could be. Because He wants to be glorified through you. Okay? Not just through me standing up here. He wants to be glorified through what you do. All of us. All Christians all over the world. That's how we're to be a light unto people. One, show love. Maybe that's your gift. Maybe you can show such compassion and such love. And we were talking about that again today, Gail, about sometimes it's hard to show love to people who are, Eddie did a message this morning on bullies. And I remember being in school. I know what it's like to be threatened. And I know what it's like to be even, you know, with cousins to threaten you with things. And I'm like, that's never a good thing. But you, if you have the courage and you have the trust of Almighty God that where you can forgive, do you realize forgiveness is one of the most God-like traits you can possibly have? Forgiveness. Oh, how hard it is sometimes to forgive. We get hurt by words. I mean, folks, we live in a world where people are being persecuted for their faith. You carry a Bible, they'll knock it out of your hand. They'll beat you up. Some of them get thrown in jail. I read this one woman in China. They made her, and I almost cried when I read it, but it's a magazine that comes out, something, Voice of the Martyrs, I think it is, Voice of the Martyrs, and I think it's a free magazine. But they made this poor Christian Chinese woman kneel, because she loved to kneel and pray. They put ice blocks under her knees. Ice blocks. And she had to stay there for hours. What that must have felt like, to have your knees being frozen. And they made her do that. But she suffered that persecution, and she lived through it. She lived through it. But that's how, folks, that's how they're doing it. They're causing people, and her resource, I think, or at least her ability, was faithfulness. She was faithful to the Lord, and He got the glory for it. Even though the communist army, they thought maybe they had her, you know, but God got the glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would we be able to do that? We haven't suffered any kind of persecution like that. Not that I know of. I think Eddie's told some stories where, I don't know if he was in it or not, but I think he somewhere they were preaching years ago and they turned a water hose on them. Down Narrows. They didn't want to hear the preaching, so they turned the water hose on them. gosh, folks, I mean, it takes faithfulness to endure that, and two, to go back for more. And I'm sure they did that. They went back and did it for more. Well, the other principle I want to speak to you about is accountability. So not only have we talked about the principle of ownership, we own all of what the master has given us, but he's only allocated portions of it to each one of us in a different amount, okay? Because we each have different abilities, so he gives us gifts and his goods in different amounts. So that's the allocation. But then accountability. So God expects us to make the most of our abilities and our talents and our opportunities and resources he's given us, okay? He expects you to do something with your gifts and your talents and, like I said, opportunities and resources. It's up to you to figure out what those are. I can't sit here and tell you, but you know yourself what it is that you have or that you can say, or maybe it's time that you can devote to help somebody. I mean, there's a whole host of things. I don't want to go over them all again, but you know what I'm talking about. So you have all these resources, and he's made an investment in us, and he wants a return. Do you understand that? He wants something in return. The Lord has given you his goods. In other words, this world. He's given it to us to manage, to take care of it, and to use it to his glory. And he's given you abilities and other things to use it to his glory. You can choose to sit on it and do nothing, or you can choose to invest it, like these other guys did, the one with the 5 talents and one with the 2. So there's going to be an investment in us by God, and he wants a return for what he's invested in us. Because one day, and this is the part we need to be very careful of, we're going to be audited by God. Has anybody here been audited by the IRS? I've not been, but I have heard horror stories of being audited by the IRS. One, they're a much bigger entity than you are. I mean, they have all power and all means behind them, and if you had to go to court, you have probably very little means to fight the IRS. And buddy, when they audit you, they do a thorough job. Well, God's going to audit us. You will give an account of how you either wasted or you spent or you invested your life. Think about that. Think about that. I don't know what book it comes from, but he talks about we will give an account for all the deeds and the words said one day. That's why we need to be careful. Who was I talking to about this? Where you get out on the road sometimes and somebody does something stupid, they pull out in front of you and you end up calling them names. Idiot, dummy, stupid, whatever. You realize Jesus said when you do that, you're going to be accountable for what you said? Where did he say that? He said if you say to somebody, raka, you might be held to the council. Raka means empty head. What do we think an idiot is? It's an empty head, right? But then if he said, if you say thou fool, which I don't know what word we would use that indicates something like a fool, maybe stupid or something like that. What did he say we'd be in danger of? You remember? Hellfire. My goodness. Just by calling somebody a name. And so we as Christians need to learn to stop these kind of things, because we're going to give an account to a God who's listening and watching everything we do and say. And we have all of these resources and maybe opportunities to do things to glorify him, and then one day we're going to have to stand before him and we're going to say, Lord, here's your one talent. I decided to just go home and sit on my hands. Oh my. Oh my. If you're that person, You know what your fate's going to be. So he's going to ask you one question at this audience. What did you do with what I gave you? Now, don't think he didn't give you anything. God has given you plenty according to your ability. And so he's expecting a return, and he's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? And I have to answer that same question when I get to it. So now we're in the principle of utilization. Utilization, that's actually using something, using your talents. So whatever abilities you might have, again, if you go home and you just sit on your hands, you're becoming like this one guy who had only the one talent. The one talent that he took, and because he was afraid of the master, he decided to bury it, and he didn't want to do anything with it, didn't want to lose it. I'm sure he probably made a map, you know, how people make a treasure map or something, and he went out and buried it somewhere in the backyard maybe, and when the Lord comes, or this man who went on a far journey, which is the Lord, by the way, he's going to be able to give him back what he gave him, but no return. Just what he gave him, he's going to give that back to him. And he told him this. You heard me read it a minute ago. He said, He first told him in verse 26, he said, the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Notice how being slothful is wicked to the Lord. Lazy. That's what slothful means. Lazy. Being lazy is wickedness to the Lord. He expects us to be doing something. Now, I know we all say we're getting of age and it's getting too hard to do anything that we wanted to do. Boy, if I was only younger, I'd be doing so much more for the Lord. Look, Moses was 80 years old when he went out and set the people free, when the Lord set the people free in Egypt. And Abraham was a very, very old man when he had Isaac, and then he had Jacob, I think, right? Ishmael. Took me a moment. I had it on tip of my tongue. Ishmael was first, and Isaac was second. And Isaac was the child of promise. So anyway, this one guy who had the one talent, even though he had the ability, because the Lord even tells him, he said, you should have at least, at the very least, took this and invested it in a bank and got some kind of interest for it, so that it wouldn't be the same. In other words, what God has given you, he does not want it to be the same as when he asks you, what did you do with your life? He doesn't want it to be the same. Hopefully you can say, I've led people to Christ. Hopefully you can say, I've helped people when they were in need. There were some people who were in despair, and I was able to talk to them and help them. Hopefully you can say these things. So we have the principle of utilization now. So you don't bury your talents. God expects you to use them. So we meet these three servants, and of course, God is not pleased with the very last one. The third servant, the very last one, was too cautious. He was afraid with what the master gave him. He buried the talent and he didn't earn anything, not a thing, with his talent. So the master responded by reprimanding him because the servant didn't even try. So his sin, if you think about it, what was his sin? His sin was inactivity, doing nothing. The Bible, I think in James, also says, he that knoweth to do good, but does it not, to him it is sin. So the thing is, if we know that there's something good and we have the ability, I'm not saying if you don't have the ability, that's a little different. But if you have the means and you have the ability to do something and to help somebody and you don't, it's sin. he that knoweth to do good but does it not is sin. So you can't please God by playing it safe. You'll never do that. You'll never please God that way. You have to be bold. You have to trust. You have to trust, or at least try. You have to try. With whatever it is God has given you, God has entrusted into each and every one of us in here in this room something. More than one something, usually, because it said several ability. Not just one ability, but several. We have the ability to talk. We can help people in what we say. We can encourage them through Scripture. That's why we need to dig deep in the Scripture. We can encourage them when something's going on. And like I said, sometimes it's serving. Some people can't leave the house because they're sick or infirmed, and they just need somebody to listen. That's all. Just somebody to listen. People need that human contact. People need interaction with others. And if we fail to do that, if we just sit on our hands, go home and just sit on our hands and not do anything and just leave it that way, then we're burying our talent. We're burying it. When we're becoming like that wicked servant at the end. And then immediately after that, Jesus starts talking about the very last days when final judgment comes. So he put this parable right before he started talking about that. That ought to give us pause. We ought to think very hard about what God has given us, me, and what I can do with it. Now, everybody in here is intelligent to some degree, okay? The fact that you can drive a car tells me that. If you can drive a car, you're intelligent. So you've got abilities. But the thing is, how are you going to use them? And that's all I want to do, is make the point, is how are you going to invest your life so that it pleases God? Just a second. And keep that in mind, and I'll go ahead and close out the CD. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for these words that you have given me.